Good morning, everybody out there. We're in radio land. My name is John Case, and we're starting the poetry show here this morning on Enlightened Radio. Just a little intro for a minute. We're a little early this week, but I did post a notice on Facebook in case anybody was listening or watching it at that time. You can always get to us at player.enlightenradio.org, and are also at the same page as the blog, www.enlightenradio.org. The podcasts are published, and you can listen to them on podcasts, plural, podcasts.enlightenradio.org. And it's also available on the hosting service for the podcast, which is Podbean. And there, it's usually available at democracyroad.podbean.com. This morning, I want to welcome my good friend Janet Harrison to the program. And she has come up with some really cool poems. And on the theme of the cherry blossoms, which is, I don't know, I haven't been downtown so long. I haven't seen, I don't know if they're out yet or not. But they're very, very, very enlightening and beautiful, beautiful. Some of them haikus that I just love haikus. My attempts to write them at various times in my life have been unhappy, really. I'm just too much of a bullshitter. That's all there is. But I can't get it down to a gem. There is no gem there. It turns out to be just quartzite. So anyway, good morning. And Janet, do you want to introduce us here to this theme and what drove you into this? The perfect blossom. Search for the perfect blossom.
Driving around Harper's Ferry and seeing all the trees in bloom, including my favorite, the weeping cherries, made me think of cherry blossoms. And they're so important to Japanese poetry. They're a symbol of transitory beauty and well, you'll hear in some of the haikus that John has chosen. I sent him an article with several haikus in them and let him choose among them. But I'm going to open with a poem by A.E. Housman. And this is a cherry blossoms looked at from a young man. He's 20 when he writes this poem. And it's from his book, The Shropshire Lad, too. And it starts out, this is A.E. Housman. Loveliest of trees, the cherry now is hung with blooms along the bough, and stands about the woodland ride, wearing white for Eastertide. Now of my 70 years, 20 will not come again, and take from 70 springs a score, it leaves me only 50 more. And since to look at things in bloom, 50 springs are little room. About the woodlands I will go to see the cherry hung with snow.
No.
That's a classic.
I like, it was very nice. Yes, it was very good.
Since Easter is Sunday, I thought, wearing white for Easter time was
Oh my gosh, long. Is Easter this Sunday? That's... Oh my!
Yes, it is.
See, I've fallen out of the Christian tradition. Something's happened. I would have known that in other years. I don't know it now. Carol and I are being slightly poisoned by watching this History of Spain on Prime's Great Courses, and the era when the Muslim forces were ruling Spain seemed to be among its best. But we've only gotten up to about 1100, so perhaps there's more to follow. Anyway, but yes, don't know. I say that because one of the things that was magnificent about the natural things growing in Spain was there were many, many fruit trees, including cherry trees, that were prominent there. And so there was always lots of color in the springtime in Spain. And cherry trees were honored there. I don't know how they found them but they had trade with Japan. This was the Muslim forces whose trading empire or range reached all along the Silk Road, all the way to China and back. So it was kind of interesting that, I don't think they had too many haikus, but, they definitely got into poems and literature about, the cherry tree. Where do you want to go next?
I'm to the David Wagner poem. Do you want to read that one?
Oh, yeah. I like this one, too. Let me see if I got the... Here we go.
I know you like David Wagner.
I do. The cherry tree. He's gifted. I just like his sensibility. Well, let's put it this way. I mean, some of the things he senses, I've sensed, but I don't think I discovered it from him. But anyway, this is called The Cherry Tree. David Wagner, do I have any bio on him on this? Not right now. This was came from a book published in 2005, Good Morning and Good Night, from the University of Illinois Press. Okay. Out of the nursery and into the garden, where it rooted and survived its first hard winter. Then a few years of freedom while it blossomed, put out its first tentative branches, withstood the insects and the poisons for insects, developed strange ideas about its height, and suffered the pruning of its quirks and clutters, its self-indulgent thrusts, and the infighting of stems at cross purposes year after year. Each April, it forgot why it couldn't do what it had to do. And always after blossoms, fruit and leaf fall was shown once more what simply couldn't happen. The oldest branches now, the survivors carved by knife blades, rain and wind, are sending shoots straight up, blood red, into the light again. it's really great. He approaches that cherry tree from every direction there.
Yeah, I love the close. The oldest branches now, the survivors carved by knife blades, rain and wind are sending shoots straight up, right. Blood red into right. The light again. I think it's just a beautiful close.
Right. And once more, what simply couldn't happen. I think that's a great line. There's lots of he's having fun with that poem. I can tell. But it's his imagination is just it's kind of wild, you know, and it comes out like, you know, this where it says, when he says out of the nursery and into the garden where it rooted and survived its first hard winter, then a few years of freedom while it blossomed, put on its first tentative branches, withstood the insects and the poisons for insects, developed strange ideas about its height, and suffered the pruning of its quirks and clutters, its self-indulgence. And, you know, it's just, I thought that's just the way he lived the mind of the tree for a moment. Oh, I thought that was cool. Really nice. So what do we do next, pal?
I'm going to read The Woman Who Turned Down the Date with a Farmer, Cherry Farmer.
Oh, man. Oh, this is a beautiful poem. You know, I sent this to my daughter this morning, by the way.
You did?
Yeah.
And I wish I knew how to pronounce the name of the poet. Do you want to take a try at it? Or?
Let me get to the top of the book. The woman, see, Amy Nezhukumatathil. I have no idea where the pronunciations of that last name comes from. Sorry.
No.
No.
It's really but it's the woman who turned down the date with the cherry farmer, and I'm reading from the Poetry Foundation website. So if you want to read this poem on your own, just go to the Poetry Foundation website and put in the woman who turned down the date with a cherry farmer.
Right. Go ahead.
Of course, I regret it. I mean, there I was under an umbrella of fruit so red that they had to be born of summer, and no other season, flip-flops and fishhooks, ice cubes made of lemonade and sprigs of mint to dip in blue glasses of tea. I was dusty, my ponytail all askew, and the tips of my fingers ran, of course, red from the fruit wounds of the cherries that I plucked into my bucket. And still, he must have seen some small bit of loveliness in walking his orchard with me. He pointed out which trees were sweetest, which bore double seeds, puffing out the flesh, and oh, the surprise on your tongue with two tiny stones, a twin spit making a small gum of your mouth. Did I mention my favorite color is red? A small gun of your mouth, excuse me. Did I mention my favorite color is red? His jeans were worn and twisty around the tip tops of his boots, his hands thick but careful, nimble enough to pull fruit from his trees without tearing the thin skin, the cherry dust and fingerprints on his sky glasses. I just know when he stuffed his hands into his pockets and said, "Okay, couldn't hurt to try," and shuffled back to his roadside stand to arrange his jelly jars and racks, stacks of buckets. I had made a terrible mistake. I just know my summer would have been full of pies, tartlets, turnovers, so much jubilee.
I love that. So much jubilee. Wow. I know. I like, but make a gun of your mouth, with the, that was pretty bold. And then it turns a little bit sexual, sort of. I don't know. It's just really, it was really cool. I thought that was a, I wish, I guess I got to look up that poet because she's very plucky. I mean, and that last line too is just it's beautiful. So much jubilee. Yeah. Wow. Anyway, well, I don't know, Janet. A lot of times you run into that farmer that seems like an oak tree, a little bit like the tree in David Wagoner's poem. Anyway, and how could you pass up a date with him?
Yes, okay, couldn't hurt to try. She's so
Yes.
humble.
Right. Anyway, do we want to do a couple some haikus now?
Yes, I want you to do haikus now.
Okay. Well, let me get to
I don't know which ones you had picked.
I let me get to it. Let me get rid of some of the ones. Hold on a second. Let me get to the right page of
Sure.
and then that's that one, and that's that one, and that's that one, and that's that one. What happened to the say something for a second while I look up. I think I thought I had it on my screen, but I don't have, hold on, let me just hold on a
Okay.
second. Okay, say a few
But
things about haiku. Explain to people about what a haiku is. That would be helpful here.
haiku is a very short poem. In when you were taught it in grade school, you were taught 5, 7, 5 syllables. But it's really more simple than that. That's a syllable count in Japanese, but when you translate them, it doesn't always translate into that syllable count. And it's about a natural subject usually, and it's got a turn in it between the second and third line where the poem opens up. They're actually very, very difficult to write. They sound like they'd be easy, but they're not. People who teach poetry to children try and start with haikus, but it's a real mistake.
Yeah, I can see that. It's very difficult to condense something in a way that works. Okay, so here are some examples, and I can't pronounce some of the Japanese names of the poetry, one of them is called, I can't pronounce the first name, but the last name is Hoshi, a 12th century poet who became a Buddhist monk. His travels inspired Matsuo Basho, who I have heard of before, centuries later, to undertake a famous journey to the north. Anyway, so here are two of his poems, one of them a haiku and one not. But they're both very short. And they give you a little bit sense of, what looks more like a normal poem and then condensed into a haiku form with a similar theme. excuse me. Gives you an example. Okay. Also, there's usually a seasonal theme in haikus that is sometimes, encoded, like, the word sowing, for example, implies spring. So, the spring wind, scattering blossoms, I saw it in a dream, but when I awoke, the sound was still rustling in my breast. Okay, let me do that one again, because these short poems, they linger. They're better if they linger on your tongue, so to speak. The spring wind, scattering blossoms. I saw it in a dream. But when I awoke, the sound was still rustling in my breast. All right. Now, that's not a haiku. Well, or it's not an exact haiku. But now back to the little bit of the theme of cherries. This is a actual haiku. The cherries' only fault, the crowds that gather when they bloom. So, and that's an example of that's a haiku. And you can see here, just between the short poem, which is a good poem, okay, and the haiku, the focus, the intensity, the kind of the singularity a little bit is enhanced by the concentration. Anyway, do you have any thoughts on that to share, Janet?
Just they're very distilled. And they have this, like you said, there's usually a seasonal word in the Japanese form of the haiku that gives you some sense of season.
Anyway, I thought that was...
But I love that, the cherries only fall, the crowds that gather when they bloom. In Japan, the blooming of the cherry tree is a huge festival and very important. They have somebody who predicts when the cherry trees will bloom, and it's a very important post.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. Especially if you're wrong. Oh, boy. Well, the other aspect of a haiku that I recall now from that's usually there in the really good ones, and this one has it too, is there's a tension of some sort between, there's a focus, but there's also a tension. So it's probably wrong to say the term singularity. It's more like a couple of the joining or the separation into two, or the joining of two into some relationship. That, like, for example, the cherry's only fault. Well, how can cherries have a fault? Well, they don't. But the crowds that gather when they bloom, and are the fault. For the perception of perfection, somehow crowds of humans don't rhyme well with our ideals of perfection.
The cherry trees.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
There is somebody who wants to see the cherry trees by himself.
Yeah.
Instead of being proud.
Right, right. You know, it's like, I mean, he's like some of the samurai literature where he's on the search for the perfect blossom, right? And until he gets there, he's going to keep killing people. you know, like, and speaking of which, here is a cherry blossom haiku by Basho, who much later, 16. I guess Basho lived and wrote in the Edo period, E-D-O, identified as 1603 to 1867. Somehow my dog got excited there about something. I'm not sure by what. anyway, he famously wrote about a frog jumping in a pond, a haiku that is categorized as a spring haiku. But here is a cherry blossom haiku from, and it goes like this. Drunk by cherry blossoms, a lady wearing a Harori coat and a sword. Drunk by cherry blossoms, a lady wearing an Harori coat and a sword. Do you know what that kind of coat is, Janet?
No, I don't.
You know, I'm not sure what it is either, but... that one seems a little more remote to me.
Your intention is you don't expect a woman to be carrying a sword.
You know, that's true by the perfect blossoms, right? Well, that has a little bit of a samurai thing to it, too, there, actually.
Kind of imagistic. It's just like a photograph.
Right. A spring breeze is blowing. I'm bursting with laughter. Wishing for flowers. That's another Basho haiku. And let's see if that keeps with the alleged rule. A spring breeze is blowing. That's five, right? And then the second line is, I'm bursting, 1, 2, 3, with 4, laughter. That's 6. So he broke the rule. He must have been making a point.
Well, when you translate, these are your translation, obviously.
That's true. How would you, it would be most difficult to maintain both syllable and semantic harmony at all. That's true. So when the translator is translating a haiku, that's not a very easy job, is it?
No, it's not.
Do you know anybody that's done that?
Yes. I was in graduate school with somebody who focused his work on haiku. I think his name was Barry George.
Was he also fluent in either Japanese? Is haiku a Chinese art form too, or mostly Japanese?
Mostly Japanese. I think it might... There might be some Chinese, I don't know.
Right. So, well, that's two. Let's see if we have one more here we could do.
Yes.
Cherry Blossom Haiku by Yosa Busan. A haiku poet who came right after Basho. He lived in the 18th century and wrote some of the most poignant haiku. His cherry blossom haiku has a dreamlike quality, transporting you to the moment of peak bloom. All right, here we go. Let's give that a thought. Everybody ready? Set. That cherry tree by my front gate, the start of our clouds.
Now that's a really classic one, because there's the season, the cherry tree, it's situated by the front gate. And then there's this turn, the start of our clouds, the white blossoms being compared to clouds. And
right.
That's the turn there.
Right. But why don't you explain that turn is a fairly common term in, you know, poetry. Maybe not everybody knows what it means.
Well, I don't even know whether I'd be able to explain it. It's when a palm is going in one direction and it seems to move into another direction. So here we have just a straight description, that cherry tree by my front gate. That's very, it's like a photograph, a cherry tree by a front gate. And then all of a sudden it explodes into the start of our clouds, which is a totally different metaphor.
My first intuition wasn't that the clouds were the blossoms.
Oh, what did you think?
I wasn't entirely sure why the clouds arrived at the gate, but then when you said that, oh well, the blossoms, okay, so that makes sense. It makes sense now, maybe the translation, maybe in the Japanese, it's not quite the leap. I don't know, but or at least for me. But there's another. I think we can do one more, right? You want to do? Can we do one more?
Sure.
This is from Kobayashi Isa, one of the great haiku masters of Japan. He wrote mostly in the late 18th and early 19th centuries, one of the most humorous of haiku poets of the times. And this is this is a cherry blossom haiku. Okay. In my province, grass blooms too. Cherry blossoms. In my province, grass blooms too. Cherry blossoms. Now, again, I felt I had to leap across to the last, from the second to the, across the turn, so to speak, and found myself not quite getting it. tell me more, Janet.
Well, I think he's starting out with, like something very humble, like grass blooming too. And then he leaps to the gorgeous cherry blossoms in the spring. So it's a spring poem. He's describing the blooming of the grass, but also the extravagance of the cherry blossoms and contrasting the
Yeah,
two.
right. Okay. No, yeah, I got it. Oh,
And
you
then
got
we'll
it?
do one more. This is also by Issa. Under the cherry blossoms, strangers are not really strangers.
Now that one I really dig. I get that one. Yes. That, I think that one's really cool. It makes you so curious, actually, to that, and that how much you miss by not being fluent in Japanese to capture, I'm sure, probably more, even more resonance in these short poems.
Yes.
That one kicks it. That one kicks ass, in my view. Under the cherry blossoms, strangers are not really strangers. You contrast that with the poem that introduces Brave New World. Do you remember that? Under the spreading chestnut tree, I sold you sold me. Anyway,
No, I don't remember that one.
that was Aldous Huxley, right? Anyway, but it wasn't quite a haiku, but it was very short. And probably the sense we could write a haiku about the being overtaken by AI. That would be a short one. see, it's got me thinking. I think this is a problem with haiku, Janet, is that you start reading them and, all of a sudden you find yourself in a frenzy about something that you have no idea what the source is. Has that ever happened to you? Hello? Did I lose you? Uh-oh. What happened to Janet? Janet, I can't hear you.
Sorry, I muted myself because I was coughing. I forgot to unmute. Yes, I think I understand what you mean, but it's never happened to me quite that way. Some poets do that to me. But not in haiku.
Not like you. You know, it's more like settling you down, okay?
Yes.
I can see how it could do that, and some obviously do, but I find sometimes I find myself like in 2 today struggling to make the turn, quote unquote. Well, I just love these. Do we have anything else that we want to cover
Yes, I
today?
want to finish the Toy Darcot's poem, if
Okay.
you can pull it up. I'm trying to get it right now, and I'm losing. I lost my. I have to start
Oh,
over.
I know. I have it now. You want me to read that one?
Yes, please do.
Okay, this is called Cherry Blossoms. Tara Derricotte,
Toy, yeah,
the
Derek
author
Horton.
of several books of poetry, co-founder of Cave Canem, Canem, a national poetry organization committed to cultivating the artistic and professional growth of African American poets. She served as chancellor of the Academy of American Poets from 2012 to 2017. This poem is called Cherry Blossoms. I went down to mingle my breath with the breath of the cherry blossoms. There were photographers, mothers arranging their children against gnarled old trees, a couple hugging. Ask a passerby to snap them like that, so that their love will always be caught between two friendships, ours and the friendship of the cherry trees. Oh, cherry, why can't my poems be as beautiful? A young woman in a fur-trimmed coat sets a card table with linens, candles, a picnic basket, and wine. Her father tips a boy's wheelchair back so he can gaze up at a branched heaven. All around us, the blossoms flurry down, whispering, "Be patient. You have an ancient beauty. Be patient. You have an ancient beauty." Wow.
And those are the words I wanted to leave people with today. Be patient. You have an ancient beauty. But this poem has got so many remarkable moments. The first big stanza could be a poem by itself. I went down to mingle my breath with the breath of the cherry blossoms. That could be a poem all in
Yeah, it
itself. And
could
then the
be a haiku-like poem. It's yes, right. It could, right? Well, maybe it
Again,
was,
oh, Cherry, why can't my poems be as beautiful? Again, that could stand on its own. This is just a remarkable poem. I really love it.
I imagine her writing that first part and then, and saying, "Gee, I almost have a haiku there," but she got one of my frenzies and couldn't stop and had to keep going. That's how I'm going to remember that poem. This is beautiful, Janet. Thank you so much. It's a great day to think about cherry blossoms. I hope everybody has a happy Easter if they're doing their worshiping this weekend. And I hope that everyone takes care. We're going to be taking a break here until my family and I get back from our vacation, which will be after the 21st of April. And so it's going to be a good 3 weeks, maybe 4, before we're back again. But in the meantime, you'll be able to find our poetry shows on podcast.enlightenedradio.org. Take care. It's late, but everything comes next.